Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live, and as always, you're welcome to join us. 603-283-6160. That's the call line for you to do that. 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, Lori.
And I have awesome news. Psychedelic use is on the rise as Gen Z turns to psychedelics to, quote, enhance connectedness. Probably in large part because of the pandemic and the lockdowns and all of that nonsense causing them to feel more and more disconnected, but that's just speculation on my part. But the recreational use of psychedelics is on the rise in the United States in the wake of COVID-19 and amid increased acceptance of the drug as a medicine. Psychedelic isn't a drug. I mean, it's a category of drugs, so I don't know exactly which one they're talking about, but moving on, in the last 3 years, the use of hallucinogens such as LSD and magic mushrooms among young people in the U.S. has jumped. It's also legal, I think, in or decriminalized at least.
Yeah, in some areas it is.
So that's probably helping as well. According to the latest data from the annual Monitoring the Future survey carried out by the University of Michigan, last year, when the U.S. went through COVID-related lockdowns, 8.6% of U.S. college students and 7.6% of young adults said they had used psychedelics in the last 12 months, compared to 4%, 4.1%, and 4.3% in 2017, so almost doubling during the pandemic. The use of hallucinogens, predominantly LSD, is the highest level since 1982 and more than five times the lowest rates in the mid-2000s. Being not a current user of psychedelics, but being a huge proponent of psychedelics, I'm thrilled to hear this.
I think it's awesome, and I'm actually not surprised, because what else are people going to do if they were, like, actually on lockdown and quarantining? I mean, you got to find some way to entertain yourself.
You do. I don't know if LSD is the best use of your time during quarantining, but, I mean, that's to each their own, I guess.
There was a lot of people, you know, like, creating art, so.
There were.
LSD will help with that.
Very much so. There's been a huge rise in LSD among younger populations, and I'm honestly surprised it's LSD that's rising more and not magic mushrooms or something like that. I think it's getting more popular due to the macro dosing, taking trip-sized doses phenomenon.
Isn't that just normal?
Yeah. I never refer to it as macro dosing.
Yeah, it's just regular dosing.
Yeah. I understand micro dosing. I'm just surprised they even... Due to the macro dosing phenomenon. So it's a new thing to take enough LSD to experience a trip. That's now more popular. And the recent rise in knowledge about the benefits of these medicines, such as cognitive enhancement and personality development, said the assistant professor of biostatics and epidemiology at the University of North Texas. The pandemic has definitely taken a toll on everyone's mental health, and traditional models of therapy are ineffective for some. You see studies showing that psilocybin, for instance, is a great alternative to reducing anxiety compared to pharmacological drugs. I mean, it's also, there have been studies on psilocybin going back decades that show that it cures depression.
Right.
Not treats, cures.
Yeah.
But every few years they tout out this new research that shows, hey, it turns out psilocybin's really good at treating PTSD or whatever. It's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've known this.
You said this a few years ago. Can we get a move on now? People report using psychedelics at home, but more and more are using these in social circles to enhance connectedness. Results from a survey that questions the general public on drug use has tracked a similar trend, with 1.2 million 18 to 25-year-olds admitted taking LSD in 2019, compared with 317,000 in 2004, almost a fourfold increase. But that doesn't say what the percentage of the population is, and that's what I would be curious about. What percentage of 18 to 25-year-olds have taken LSD? Because I would imagine it's a fair bit.
Yeah.
This uptick comes during an era where LSD, psilocybin, ketamine, and MDMA are being trialed and prescribed to treat a range of medical issues such as depression and PTSD, while the legal barriers to these drugs being used in therapy are falling away. So they're self-dosing, and I applaud them for that.
Yeah.
They know their own mental health better than anyone else. This upward trend is likely partly due to the changing perception about the dangers and possible medicinal benefits of hallucinogen use. I looked into this a number of years ago on the Call to Freedom because there was one of these articles out about anxiety and psilocybin, and it alleged that magic mushrooms, psilocybin, could heal you at certain doses. So, and they linked to a government study, so I went to the government study, and there was never any mention in any of these about the possibility of dying from magic mushrooms.
I've never heard of that.
I think it depends on the mushroom that you're taking, because there's so many.
You eat the wrong mushroom.
Well, yeah, well, there's lots of hallucinogenic mushrooms, but like fly agaric can't kill you if you take enough of it.
And there's some mushrooms where you actually hallucinate because they're toxic.
Right.
But that's not your average hallucinogenic mushrooms. That's just, there are some mushrooms where, you know, you eat it in small doses and it makes you trip because that's your body's response to the toxins in it.
Yeah. And so there's two different kinds of hallucinogenic mushrooms too.
Well, certainly, but psilocybin, the family that, as far as I'm aware of, hasn't ever killed anyone.
I don't think so. No.
No, it's
the
other
one in Japan. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it's lethal in high doses.
Government studies also say that pot can kill you. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've seen in some studies that they, I mean, it's a scheduled drug.
I mean,
so it's psilocybin, so
you could trip and fall.
Yeah, I guess so.
And hit your head on something.
Just like COVID can kill you if you have it and you trip and fall and hit your head on something.
Yeah, right.
The rise in the use of psychedelics is an international trend. In the UK, the use of hallucinogens is at the highest rate since the mid-2000s. A special psychedelics report by the Global Drug Survey, the biggest drug use survey in the world, has found a number of people using LSD, mushrooms, DMT, and ketamine doubled between 2015 and 2020. I don't know anything about ketamine. I'm always hearing about it.
I think it's a strange one to lump in there. Isn't ketamine horse tranquilizers?
Yeah, it's becoming a lot more popular. I think they describe it as a dissociative.
Okay.
But I had a lot of friends who did it, and they used to love it. But seeing someone in a quote-unquote K-hole is not pretty.
Okay.
But, and that's why they classify it as a date rape drug. It, also, because if you tell someone it's cocaine, and then they do a cocaine-sized amount of it, they can, you know, kind of become incoherent and basically in this K-hole where they kind of just, like, black out. So,
I've never heard anything about it. It doesn't sound like a pleasant experience, though. Now, is it?
I have friends that love it, so.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe one of them should call in.
Yeah.
And tell us all about it.
Apart from using psychedelics for fun, to escape the modern world, and to cope with pandemic lockdowns, the GDS also found many people use them as a way to aid well-being, to deal with anxiety, and to get relief from a psychiatric condition. A quarter of respondents who used LSD and magic mushrooms said they had microdosed the drugs. What's more, the survey found LSD was rated as the best value for money drug in the world. I don't know that I'd agree. LSD is kind of expensive, significantly more so than magic mushrooms.
I have no idea.
I think my experience was the opposite.
In what way?
The LSD was cheaper than magic mushrooms.
Psychedelics are really versatile drugs. I can imagine for some people, bigger doses may have allowed them to work through anxieties the last 18 months have raised for all of us. Well, not all of us, just the people who wouldn't turn off the television. The people who did turn off the television looked around and went, what pandemic? Maybe microdosing was the baking of the drug world for lockdown. I don't know what they're trying to mean there, because some people saw this as an opportunity to trial microdosing and may have had the chance to see the impact on work, performance, and creativity with more time away from the office. Given most people who used more drugs said it was boredom that led to escalating use, I guess fun and passing the time will be up there as well. Well, there are worse ways to pass your time than microdosing on magic mushrooms and LSD. There have been a lot of good PR about psychedelics showing the fine line between drugs and medicine. LSD is ideally suited to the dark net and postal delivery. I think we're in a decade where we all want to feel more connected to ourselves and the world, and we need new ways of comprehending the madness that we see around us. I think psychedelics can offer that in a way that stimulants can't. And also, they are pretty safe. That's shocking to hear from, who was he? I think he was a university professor. I don't remember now. No, he was a consultant psychiatrist.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. What are your thoughts? Are psychedelics going to make people feel more connected to get out of this lockdown funk? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. You're welcome to join us. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Aria, Lori, and Nikki. And you can get your early bird tickets now for Liberty in Our Lifetime, an event happening in Volheim, Switzerland. I have no idea if I pronounced that correctly. I tried to look into it last night and had absolutely no luck on figuring out how to pronounce that. It's hosted by the Free Private Cities Foundation, but move quickly. The early bird rate only lasts until September 20th. After that, though, you can still get tickets at lifetimeliberty.com. Liberty in Our Lifetime aims to explore projects happening right now around the world that are working to achieve that lofty goal of securing freedom in our lifetime. Speakers from Crypto Valley, Prospera, the Seasteading Institute, and more will be speaking at this October 16th event. Maybe going to Switzerland isn't your thing, though. It may be a bit much to plan an international trip to Switzerland, and that's okay. Digital tickets are available at lifetimeliberty.com. See what's happening all around the world to create voluntary societies with a live-and-let-live attitude at lifetimeliberty.com. Let's go to the phones. We have Dave calling from the Ridley Report. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, folks.
Hey,
I have an NH exit update.
What is it?
So as you've probably already reported, independence legislation was submitted on Monday by Mike Sylvia, state rep of Belmont, New Hampshire, a constitutional amendment to withdraw New Hampshire from the federal system from the United States.
Oh, yes. We've talked about it. It's wonderful news.
And
I look forward to seeing what happens.
And union leader has posted a poll, or set up a poll about 7 hours ago, and it is showing 84% support for independence.
Yeah, last time I looked, it was 82%. I don't know how reliable it really is because
no,
libertarians are fairly good at social media and are fairly active on social media, and they hang in very tight circles. So if one libertarian shares something, 30 libertarians are going to see it. And if it's a poll about secession, they're going to click it and vote yes, even if they live in Texas or Ohio or wherever. But it is.
But it's also an indication of our ability to organize. Compared to the pro-federal faction ability to organize.
That's also true. I remember Twitter did a poll a number of years ago, it was NHPR. They did a poll on Twitter about what is New Hampshire, what is the most New Hampshire thing about New Hampshire, and the options were like the Free State Project, Live Free or Die, the Granite State, and some other things, and the Free State Project just won by a landslide.
That's awesome.
It was the same sort of thing with, you know, libertarians just really good at organizing and getting together. Especially if all they have to do is click something, libertarians are really good at that.
It's kind of like the Ron Paul movement, you know, in 07, everyone, oh, it's just the Internet. Like 2007, yeah, it's just the Internet. Until there was the first presidential debate and we were covering the parking lot with nothing but us. And then we were all saying, you know, the motto back then was, we're not just the Internet, obviously.
I wasn't around for that, but it sounds like it was awesome.
Yeah. A couple other things happened. I managed to make 3 talk radio calls about it today, 2 in New Hampshire, 1 in Connecticut. Both of the New Hampshire talk show hosts were friendly, even though one of them is a liberal, the other is a neocon. They were both friendly, actually, to the idea to a large extent, and treated it very respectfully. I was surprised. And then when I called the Connecticut radio show, they were ecstatic. So maybe they don't like it. I don't know. But it wasn't like that. They were not being sarcastic. They were thrilled to hear that somebody was doing something.
That is surprising for Connecticut. I'm not surprised to hear that radio stations in New Hampshire are receptive of the idea, but it's got to be a difficult position to argue that you don't think the people of New Hampshire should be able to vote on a constitutional amendment, that they shouldn't even be allowed the option of voting yes on this. That's got to be a difficult position to argue from.
And that's another caveat to the union leader thing, is that the poll is actually on whether we should be able to vote on it. On a constitutional amendment to withdraw from the United States. It wasn't saying you want to withdraw from the United States.
Right.
So probably some of the people voted just in favor of the right to vote.
We'll never know. Well, I guess we will know based on, you know, what we might know. Assuming we get enough libertarians to turn up for the bill hearing, like several hundred, and enough that we apply enough pressure for it to actually get out of committee and it gets voted on. The odds are steep, but they're not impossible. We could very well see this on the ballot next year.
I have also set up, at Ian's request, a town hall meeting, an electronic town hall meeting for probably each Saturday for New Hampshireites to discuss this, particularly focused on inviting opponents of the resolution or opponents of the amendment.
Where are you doing this town hall at?
It's the Jitsi, same as the current. Okay. We've had meetings on Jitsi to organize NH exit stuff. This will be more like a free-for-all with the public basically invited.
Okay. Sounds cool. Is there going to be a public link for that available? I'm assuming so.
Yeah, later on I'll post it. I'm probably just going to post it on some sites that are sort of seen by New Hampshire people. I don't really, I'm not eager to have it become a thing that's really not a New Hampshire thing.
I think that's probably going to be unavoidable. I mean, once this really starts getting news coverage...
I'm going to suggest that people join if they're from New Hampshire or they're here now. But probably I'm not going to encourage people to join if they're not here or not a New Hampshire resident.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I look forward to seeing the town hall meeting, and hopefully I will be able to, since it's Saturday, I'm off work, I may be able to actually attend it. Dave, thank you so much for the call tonight. Thank you for the updates. It is exciting to look and see that, 80-something percent of people are saying, yes, the people of New Hampshire should be able to vote on this, but we have no idea what that really means. It could be just 80 people have voted yes, and there's fewer than 100 people in the poll. We really don't know, and those numbers aren't forthcoming. But we talked about ketamine in the last segment, and that caused you to actually look it up, and you found some interesting stuff.
Yes, so ketamine was lumped in there because ketamine is actually known for curing depression as well. And this is a WebMD article, which is a little surprising to me. This man, Jeff Winograd, had depression, says he didn't know an adult life without depression since he was 20 years old. He had tried virtually every antidepressant on the market. But he said his depression was just constant. By the time he was 45 years old, he had officially hit rock bottom, so he was willing to try anything. He tried ketamine, and that was the only thing that was able to treat his depression. So I guess this gives a little background on ketamine. Ketamine got its start in Belgium in the 1960s as an anesthesia medicine for animals. The FDA approved it as an anesthetic for people in 1970. It was used in treating injured soldiers on battlefields in the Vietnam War.
Okay, I'm starting to see how it could become useful for depression, but I'm not sure that it's really treating his depression as much as it is just numbing him to it, based on it
could
being an anesthetic. More about ketamine coming up, because I want to learn more about it. I don't know anything about it. And if it's got therapeutic uses, then that's something that I want to know. What are your thoughts, though? Is it just anesthetic? Or is it going to prove to be useful in the same way that shrooms and LSD have? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Let me be clear. People who engage in that kind of gross misconduct have no place in the FBI.
FBI Director Chris Wray in the hot seat during a Senate hearing on Wednesday. The FBI is the spotlight for the bungled investigation of convicted sex offender Larry Nassar. He's the former USA gymnastics team doctor who abused scores of young female athletes over many years. including gold medalist Simone Biles, who blames the FBI for not aggressively pursuing an investigation of Nassar when allegations were presented to the Bureau.
We suffered and continue to suffer because no one at FBI, USAG, or the USOPC did what was necessary to protect us.
CDC data shows states with an obesity rate higher than 35% have doubled over the past 2 years. USA Radio News. President Biden on Wednesday expressed his full confidence in General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, despite a report that he circumvented then-President Donald Trump to intervene with other countries.
I have great confidence in General Milley.
The Pentagon confirmed Wednesday that Joint Chiefs Chair General Mark Milley made two calls to his Chinese counterpart in the final months of the Trump administration. A Joint Chiefs of Staff spokesperson saying the calls were meant to maintain stability between the two countries. According to anonymous sources, Milley called his Chinese counterpart and assured him that the United States would not attack the Chinese Communist Party, and if they were poised to attack, he would alert his counterpart. There's no official word from the FDA on their stance regarding the need for a COVID-19 booster shot. However, Pfizer claims its booster restores the effectiveness of the vaccine to 95%. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us. 603-283-6160, if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Lori.
And we're talking about one of my favorite subjects. My favorite subject, of course, is crypto. Well, probably cryptocurrency. Well, in a close second are psychedelics. I've always been, not always, but for the last several years, I've been a huge advocate of psychedelics in general. I used to struggle with depression and anxiety, and it wasn't, I only briefly tried one of these depression meds and was not a fan. It didn't really seem to do anything for the depression. It just made me yawn a lot.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't good. So I stopped taking it after like 2 weeks. So I don't think I even took it long enough for it to have any effect, but then I started playing around with psychedelics. MDMA was the first one I ever did, and I don't know that it has a whole lot of therapeutic benefit for, like, PTSD or anxiety or depression or anything like that, but it certainly causes you to open up to people, which is good for, you know, people who have PTSD to talk to their therapists and things like that. But shrooms and LSD, certainly, certainly good. Anxiety and depression hasn't been an issue for me, at the very least, since I came to New Hampshire. And a lot of that could also be because, you know, I made substantial changes to my life, thereby getting rid of the causes of the depression in the first place. But who knows? Anxiety, at least, the only time I felt anxiety in the last 5 years was when I had to deal with the bank. And I swear to God, I might have PTSD just from dealing with banks. They are horrible monstrosities.
That's for sure. Yeah. And I also think there's something to be said for LSD and psychedelic mushrooms being as people only need to take them once or a few times rather than taking them every single day for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, somebody can take mushrooms a few times and then get lifelong benefits from it.
And you don't even know if the pills are going to work for you or make you feel worse or make you suicidal or kill your sex drive or, you know, all of the other things that go along with them.
I haven't done psychedelics in more than a year, and there's been no blowback from depression or anxiety or anything like that. I mean, I just kind of have no need for them and didn't really desire to do them at any point in the last year because, for me, they are about therapy, and I don't have anything that I need to deal with, so...
Yeah, I definitely got to a point with psychedelics where I was just like, I don't even need to do this anymore. You know, it was fun to do, and it was really, really beneficial and really, really helpful. And then I just don't even have the desire to do it anymore because I think I've gotten what I needed to get out of it. And I think a lot of people get to that point with psychedelics.
I would suggest that's true for me as well, and that's why I don't, you know, mess around with them anymore or and have it for the last year. But we have Dale calling from Georgia. Dale, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, well, y'all kind of hit the nail on the head there. I first started experimenting with psychedelics back in 79, and I don't know, for 10, 15 years, I probably did LSD and mushrooms 1,200 times. We were massive dosing. Now, we weren't micro-dosing, but, you know...
You were micro-dosing that. Okay.
No. I'm saying in the last...
Oh, you were tripping 1,200 times. Wow, okay. That's hard.
Well, you know, sometimes it was big, sometimes it was little, but, you know, it's not for everybody, but I can, you know, micro-dosing, especially some shrooms, it might help. See, I came up from an abusive childhood through the 60s, and I had a lot of issues, and it allows you to see yourself if you're suited for that kind of thing, for tripping, and I think it gave me a lot of benefit, but then I started doing it for entertainment and going to the Allman Brothers and that kind of thing, and,
sure,
you know, then the Starship comes, takes the whole concert away or whatever, but big trips, but,
See, my experience was kind of the opposite. I started out, like I said, doing MDMA, and it was really just a party drug. But then I started doing other psychedelics, and it became totally not about partying. It became about just exploring the self, going into the labyrinth within and fighting whatever minotaurs or demons one needed to deal with. And I found shrooms and LSD to be a fantastic way of doing that.
Well, I don't know, y'all. I'm kind of new, but like what she was saying, you reach a point where you realize, enough, you know, you've hit as far as you can go, and you kind of grow up. I think that they can help some people mature. And as far as the ketamine goes, I've looked. I don't have the Google going now or anything, but from memory, I think Tim Leary, that's what he called vitamin K. And it is hallucinogenic. It separates the mind from the body. And that's why it's an anesthetic. You're just separated. I haven't tried it, but that's my understanding of it.
Very cool. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Dale. I always loved Timothy Leary. I keep saying I always said that, but ever since I heard about him, I did love Timothy Leary because he was extremely intelligent, a huge advocate of psychedelics, and he was the one who said psychedelics inspire fear in those who have never tried them. And he was absolutely right. The people who are terrified of psychedelics are entirely the people who have never done them. Everyone I've ever met who's done psychedelics is like, yeah, there's really nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
Yeah. There's way other drugs out there that people are doing that are way scarier than psychedelics.
I mean, you always hear that news report of the guy who takes too much LSD.
And jumps off the roof.
Yeah, thinking he can fly or whatever, but... This is why you have trip sitters your first few times until you learn how to handle it or whatever. And that sort of thing, it's you have to be kind of stupid anyway to be able to lose your connection to reality.
I've never heard of that actually happening.
I've never had. So my very first time, I was stupid, and I was 15, and I did 2 triple dips, which is 6, all by myself. In my room, and like I didn't have anything like that where I thought I could fly or anything. I had really, really strong visuals, and it was, you know, mind-opening.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the walls weren't melting.
You didn't jump off the roof?
I didn't jump off the roof. I didn't eat anyone's face. Nothing crazy happened, you know?
The closest thing I've ever heard to that happening in person was someone who did LSD at a Porcupine Freedom Festival a few years ago and tried to front flip over a fire and didn't make it. Now, they obviously didn't think they were going to fly over the fire or anything like that. They were just impaired and made a really stupid decision.
Yeah, right.
And so I don't know if it was really the LSDs. They were probably drunk as well, which probably didn't help. But
lots of confidence.
They certainly didn't think they could fly.
Right.
And I've never heard of any actual in-person stories of someone doing that.
No. I think it's all like crazy 70s PSAs, like you're going to put your baby in the oven type of story.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Right.
So this article continues about the ketamine. It's actually really interesting. So emergency responders were giving ketamine to agitated patients who, for example, they rescued from a suicide attempt. And that's how Ken Stewart, a medical doctor, began to realize that the drug had powerful effects against depression and suicidal thoughts. Someone is trying to jump off a bridge, and they give him ketamine in the ambulance to calm him down. And 9 months later, he says, I haven't felt suicidal for 9 months. So this doctor must have thought that, you know, this couldn't be a coincidence. When enough stories like this started to pile up, the doctor said, maybe there's something here.
So he only did ketamine the one time?
According to this doctor, this patient took it that one time in the ambulance and then never had any other suicidal urges since. So ketamine,
that's a strong success story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess this doctor he's an emergency room doctor, and he was seeing a lot of this, which made him think, you know, this can't be a coincidence. There's something here. So ketamine causes what doctors call a dissociative experience, and what most anyone else would call a trip. That's how it became a club drug called K, Special K, Super K, and Vitamin K, among others. People inject it, whatever, put it in drinks, whatever else they do with it. Ketamine can produce feelings of unreality, visual and sensory distortions, a distorted feeling about one's body, temporary unusual thoughts and beliefs, and a euphoria or buzz sensation.
It does kind of sound fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it before and it was pretty fun, but it's not
like... Oh, so you have tried it?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, and not really my thing. Like, I had friends that liked it a lot more than I did, but I did it a few times. I never had a negative experience, so, you know.
When we get back, we're going to talk about a Philadelphia assault and how the city of Philadelphia has now settled for pulling a woman out of her car, I believe, and beating her in front of her 2-year-old.
Oh, God.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. That's the number if you want to join us. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Bluestar Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Bluestar soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Bluestar worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Bluestar in the first aid section.
Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Suspended from YouTube. This is actually my fault. I've been watching to see, you know, when Free Talk Live was streaming to YouTube again, and I realized just tonight that, you know, it's definitely been a week since we were given a strike on YouTube where they suspended us for 7 days. But because of the stupid YouTube system, the countdown doesn't start until you actually go in and acknowledge that you received the strike.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It's very stupid. And as a result, I saw the strike, but I didn't do anything about it. I didn't say, okay, yes, we have a strike now, or click the little button to say that.
You have to acknowledge that you are naughty.
That's pretty much it. And as a result, that countdown hasn't even started still. So I'm going to get on that at some point. In the meantime, you can find us at video.freetalklive.com, where we don't have to worry about that nonsense. We don't have to worry about channel strikes or getting flagged for medical misinformation, and ultimately, as YouTube is going to do, pulling us from their platform. Instead, we're on Library, with a lot of our videos from the last several years, where we can't be censored, because Library is a decentralized video sharing protocol, and Odyssey is sort of a web-based front end to that, where people can watch the content that can be found on Library, and where they actually have a streaming service that we're streaming to right now. You can find it at video.freetalklive.com. Highly recommend it. There's more than 1 million people already over there with channels creating content, so check it out, video.freetalklive.com. Now, we have this story from Philadelphia, where the city or the police station or someone is having to settle a lawsuit based on really just disgusting behavior by cops. And that's not a new phenomenon by any means, but it's rare that they actually have to pay instead of just being brought up on criminal charges or something like that.
Investigating themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. So this article is from Y.org. It says, Philadelphia settles with mother, police dragged from car and assaulted in front of toddler. Philadelphia settled a case with a mother whom police officers dragged from her car and beat up during protests against police violence last year.
Good
How ironic.
Lord. Are you
right?
Serious?
Yeah.
This is why we're protesting.
Yeah. The city settled for $2 million before she filed a lawsuit. The city told her lawyers it is the largest pretrial settlement for a police brutality case like this. In many law firms, this case would have been over after securing such a historic settlement against the city of Philadelphia, said lawyer Kevin Mincy.
So wait a minute. She got the settlement before she even started suing them?
Yeah, before she even brought the lawsuit.
Wow.
So they didn't even want to face that wrath.
Yeah.
I can't say I blame them. I mean, she was at a police brutality protest and then experienced police brutality in front of her toddler.
Yeah. Oh, it gets better.
Or worse.
Yeah, worse. Yeah. But they say that's not enough. In October 2020, Philadelphia police officers shot and killed Walter Wallace Jr. in Cobbs Creek. That led to several days of protests.
See, I don't even remember that one. Cops shoot and kill so many people these days.
All the time.
I don't remember that particular one.
Right.
And I know that's horrible. They all deserve to be remembered, but that's just not practical.
Right. Yeah. It just happens so much. I'm sure the list is like a memorial wall of how many people every year.
I think in 2017, it was something like 1,700 people were killed by police
wow.
that year.
Talk about protecting and serving.
Yeah, more than four a day.
I think it was ruled that they don't actually have to protect and serve, like in court.
It's been ruled that repeatedly. Yeah, they have no obligation to protect and serve. If they see someone committing a crime against you, they're not required to actually do anything to stop it.
Well, they're not. I think it's policy to not do anything until it's too late.
What? Right?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know if that's legit, but yeah. Seems like it.
Yep. So, on October 27th, Rikia Young was driving through West Philadelphia with her 2-year-old son and 16-year-old nephew when she found herself in the middle of a protest. She turned to go back, but before she could, officers dragged Young and her nephew out of the car, beat them, and kept her away from her son for several hours.
She wasn't even part of the protest? She was just driving through?
Yep.
And they beat her nephew as well?
Yep.
What was the age of her nephew?
16.
So does the article say why, like, what led to them ripping her out of her car? Or was it just, like, nothing?
I'm sure that it was just, you know...
wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time. They're all hyped up because they're beating people up in the crowd for protesting against getting beat up by the cops. And, you know, so they pulled her out of her car because they thought she was doing something.
I would have to agree then. I mean, this lady got attacked and her nephew got attacked by police for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. 2.2 million is not enough.
No, in front of her 2-year-old.
All of these cops should be incarcerated for assault and battery and, you know, whatever other charges would apply.
Yeah.
And on top of that, be fined personally. The police who did this should have to pay for it.
Individuals, right? Not the taxpayers paying for it, because that's what essentially happens every time.
Yeah.
So the Fraternal Order of Police, the world's largest organization of sworn officers, posted on social media a picture of a Philadelphia officer holding Rikia Young's 2-year-old son, saying that he was lost during the violent riots in Philadelphia, wandering around barefoot in an area that was experiencing complete lawlessness. The post ended by saying...
after they jerked her out of her car and beat her?
Yes.
So the 2-year-old presumably got out and...
I think they pulled the kid out and used him as a photo op, how great they were.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yep. The post ended by saying, "We are the thin blue line, and we are the only thing standing between order and anarchy."
Ew.
After they they beat this woman, then used her 2-year-old in a propaganda photo op.
Yes.
Good God.
Yep. A few hours later...
All the more reason for me to never go to Philadelphia.
There's so many reasons.
Oh, man.
A few hours later, Philadelphia police released Young without filing any charges and let her reunite with her son.
How kind of them.
Yeah, we're not going to charge you with anything for us expending our energy to beat you up.
And for kidnapping your 2-year-old for several hours and exploiting him for a photo op.
Yep.
Disgusting.
Yep. Lawyer Kevin Mincy said her son is still suffering from what happened. He's already audibilized a fear of police. He's afraid of the dark, loud noises, Mincy said. He's more easily startled. Those are just examples of some of the things he's been dealing with since this happened. Rikia Young said she will never forget what the officers did that night, and she hopes that the officers responsible will never have the chance to do something like this to another person ever again. But, you know, they will.
Did they get fired?
I don't guess the article says.
I don't think they did.
Probably not. And even if they did, they would just get a different job at a different precinct.
Right.
I mean, that's the way these things work.
Yeah, they get transferred.
I'm not surprised to hear that the 2-year-old is still dealing with this, because kids are pretty resilient, but I'm not surprised that the woman is still dealing with this. I mean, she was just driving through Philadelphia when cops... She may have not even known there was a protest going on. She was certainly not there to attend the protest. She just happened to be in the vicinity.
It sounds like she didn't, because in the beginning of the article, it said that she tried to turn around to, like, get out of the crowd.
Yeah, she just happened to, like, you know, turn down that road and ended up in the protest.
And she was like, oh, no, this isn't the right way. Clearly, let's go somewhere else. And for all of this, the cops dragged her out of her car, along with her 16-year-old nephew,
mm-hmm.
beat both of them,
yep.
arrested them, and then released them later with no charges, of course, because they somehow couldn't figure out anything they could use to charge these people. And they're pretty good at making up things to charge people with.
Yeah, and then tried to settle out of court for it, but she took the $2 million and is going forward with a lawsuit, which I'm happy about that.
So she's still allowed to sue, even though she took the $2 million?
I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully she can
use part
of that $2 million to get a really good attorney then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go after these people and hopefully get them fired for this.
Yeah.
I also want to touch on the comment in the article that said, "We are the thin blue line. We're what stands between order and anarchy." As if, one, anarchy is some horrible thing, and if this world that they're protecting us in is order... It doesn't seem like this is order to me.
It's
the fact that people need to protest against police brutality, and then at the police brutality protest, they get beat up and children get kidnapped by cops.
And used in photo ops where they say that they're the ones protecting order. There's so many elements of the story that are just terrifying. Like the cops just attacking this random woman, attacking this random 16-year-old, kidnapping this 2-year-old child, and then alleging that they found him wandering the streets and used him as a photo op where they said that they were the ones, you know, protecting society from chaos. I'm not surprised to hear them say anarchy instead of chaos, because for most people, when they hear the word anarchy...
Yeah, people kind of link those together.
Yeah, of course, anarchy doesn't have to be chaotic. It certainly could be.
No, my view of anarchy is beautiful. It's a world without any cops beating up women and kidnapping children. And
what a concept.
Without the IRS robbing people. And, you know, it's a really beautiful picture that is painted in my head. I don't know about anybody else, but...
Yeah, spontaneous order is a thing. In fact, the anarchy symbol is an A inside of a circle. Well, it's actually an A inside of an O. And the O stands for order. So you get order out of anarchy more often than not. But just people working together, cooperating voluntarily, and it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, women don't get randomly pulled from their cars and beaten and they're separated from their 2-year-olds in a voluntary society. What are your thoughts? Is $2.2 million enough, or should the Philadelphia city have to pay more? 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.